Good morning. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings 12. Then Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. Now when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard of it, he was living in Egypt, for he was yet in Egypt, where he fled from the presence of King Solomon. Then they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, Your father made our yoke hard. Now therefore lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke, which you put on us, and we will serve you. Then he said to them, Depart for 3 days, then return to me. So the people departed. King Rehoboam consulted with the elders who had served his father Solomon while he was still alive, saying, How do you counsel me to answer this people? Then they spoke to him, saying, If you will be a servant to this people today and will serve them and grant them their petition and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the elders which they had given him and consulted with the young men who grew up with him and served him. So he said to them, What counsel do you give that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, Lighten the yoke which your father put on us. The young men who grew up with him spoke to him, saying, Thus you shall say to this people who spoke to you, saying, Your father made our yoke heavy. Now you make it lighter for us. But you shall speak to them, My little finger is thicker than my father's loins. Whereas my father loaded you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, I will discipline you with scorpions. Then Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day as the king had directed, saying, Return to me on the third day. The king answered the people harshly, for he forsook the advice of the elders which they had given him, and he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. So the king did not listen to the people, for it was a turn of events from the Lord, that he might establish his word which the Lord spoke through Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. When all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, saying, What portion do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now look after your own house, David. So Israel departed to their tents. But as for the sons of Israel who lived in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the forced labor, and all Israel stoned him to death. And King Rehoboam made haste to mount his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel had been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. It came about when all Israel heard that Jeroboam had returned, that they sent and called him to the assembly and made him king over all Israel. None but the tribe of Judah followed the house of David. Now when Rehoboam had come to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men who were warriors, to fight against the house of Israel to restore the kingdom to Rehoboam the son of Solomon. But the word of God came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, Speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all the house of Judah and Benjamin and the rest of the people, saying, Thus says the Lord, you must not go up and fight against your relatives, the sons of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing has come from me. So they listened to the word of the Lord and returned and went their way according to the word of the Lord. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and lived there, and he went out from there and built Penuel. Jeroboam said in his heart, Now the kingdom will return to the house of David. If this people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will return to their Lord, even to Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah. So the king consulted and made two golden calves and said to them, Is it too much for you to go up to Jerusalem? Or it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold your gods, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And he set one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. And he made houses of high places, and made priests among all the people who were not the sons of Levi. Jeroboam instituted a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like the feast which is in Judah, and he went up to the altar. Thus he did in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves which he had made, and he stationed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. Then he went up to the altar which he had made in Bethel on the 15th day, in the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised in his own heart, and he instituted a feast for the sons of Israel, and went up to the altar to burn incense. Amen. Okay, this is a really interesting turn of events in some ways. So let's go back a little bit. So we have two characters. We have Rehoboam. And remember, Rehoboam was the son, probably the only son of Solomon that could take the throne. And then we have Jeroboam, who was a skilled worker. He was actually in charge of all the forced labor. And a prophet came and spoke to them, him, that he's going to be king over Israel, over the ten. Remember, he tore his garments. And so that happened. So Solomon, after hearing this, tried to kill Jeroboam, and Jeroboam fled to Egypt, and he's been there since. Now, Solomon is dead. They're instituting Rehoboam as king in Shechem, which has been the kind of the procedure going all the way back to David, and that's about to happen here. But when that happens, Jeroboam comes, and he brings the tribes with him that are loyal to him, and just make a very normal request. Now, well, normal depends on what the way you look at it. Solomon, you remember all the good stuff that happened through Solomon, the peace and everything? Well, that all was instituted on the back of the labor of the Israelites. And so it was twofold. One was labor, that was forced labor. The other one was heavy taxation. And so they're basically saying lessen the yoke of labor and taxation. And so the king, being quite wise, said, all right, just go away for 3 days and let's have a chat. Now, he goes and he talks to his counselors, his father's counselors, and they give him really good advice. They basically say, lighten the yoke. It doesn't have to be that hard. And these people will serve you all the days of your life. And notice the word is, if you will be a servant to your people, then your people will be a servant to you, which is a good king. I mean, that would be a good pastor. That would be a good boss. That would, you know, it's like that's a father's heart to want their kids to do well. Unfortunately, Rehoboam instead listens to advice of his friends. And this is great folly. Now, let's take one step back. Rehoboam's foolishness was really the result of Solomon. And this is where most people look at this situation. Rehoboam was a spoiled kid, lived in the palace. He did not know what's going on with the people. He didn't understand that they were angry, they were upset. He was like a tycoon's kid that just stays in his mansion 24/7, surrounded by 18 servants, you know. And of course, his friends, who are his counselors, also grew up the same way. And so they have no idea of the people. And so actually the first time he realizes it is when he sends Adoram to minister over the laborers, and they stone him to death. And so finally, Rehoboam says, oh my goodness, this is crazy. So he flees to Jerusalem. And it's his first instinct like, oh, okay, this is not really going well. But it's really, you know, I'm making a side note, it's really the parenting of Solomon that really is the instigator or brings about this reality. And so let me just make a little note for us here. This is why it's important for us that have children, that have kids, that we don't shield them too much from the world. As Christians, we have to be a little bit careful that we don't, that we just take our kids, and obviously we have to protect them, you know, and things like that. So, I mean, with some wisdom. But if we just put them in Christian ghettos and, you know, everything is Christian, now, I like Christian schools. I'm a product of Christian schools, so I'm not saying. But I mean, you know, everything they do is wrapped up in a Christian world. You know, eventually they go out in the world, And they become completely ill-equipped to be salt and light, you know, that we've been talking about on Sundays. And so I think there should be some wisdom a bit in the way that we raise our kids, of course, in faith. But that's done at home. And obviously, bringing them to church and, you know, being involved in Bible study, all this kind of stuff. But if they're just totally surrounded in a Christian environment, and Christian just meaning more of a Christian ghetto, you know, type of thing, then I think we do our kids a disservice in the long run. Because eventually, I mean, the Lord says we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And when we shelter them too much from the world, it can lead to certain situations like here at Red Bull. Now, people may disagree with me, but I got the mic, man, right? So, you know, this is my time to share what's in my heart. So let's go back to this. So Rehoboam listens to advice of his spoiled friends, and they come to this place, and look at the pride. My finger is thicker than my father's loins. In other words, I'm going to be more prosperous and more, you know, everything. I'm more grander than even my dad. And then he says, you know, you want less of a yoke? I'm going to increase the yoke. My father whipped you with whips. I'm going to whip you with scorpions. Now, a scorpion is not, you know, I mean, you don't take scorpions and put them on a whip. And that's not what it means. But it actually meant that the whips actually had, like, teeth in it. And they had sometimes like little pieces of sharp bone and things. And so thus, you know, like the claw, this is kind of the idea. And it's even like stricter. I mean, you just had a whip. You imagine whip with weapons inside of it. And he's saying that, you know, you had it good this way. Man, you're gonna get this, the whip with scorpions. And of course, it is bad advice, man. I mean, it's totally bad advice. Through these things, and so they turn away, he leaves, but look at verse 15, and these kinds of things will be some of the keys of understanding 1 2 Samuel, 1 2 Kings, and even the Chronicles. In verse 15 it says, so the king did not listen to the people, for it was a turn of events from the Lord. In other words, constantly through the chronicling of the kings and the judges and all these things, it's the sovereign hand of God. God does what God wants to do. God is orchestrating behind the scenes all the events of Israel. It's his prerogative, and he is moving in such a way that causes Rehoboam to listen to bad advice from his friends instead of the wise counsel of the elders. And then, you know, it goes on, all these things, these guys leave. Rehoboam, after they kill his servant, Adoram, brings an army together. They're about to fight. And, I mean, can you imagine? He's got 180,000 warriors. And the word of the Lord prevents a civil war from taking place. And so even, I mean, this is God too. Though God's sovereign and he has divided the kingdom, in this regard, he makes sure that there's no bloodshed. In other words, this is God's purposes, and he minimizes the damage as much as possible. So the kingdom is divided. So now you have the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom, Judah and Israel. And so then Jeroboam figures this out, and they have this feast. I mean, they're meant to go to Jerusalem at least once a year, but there's about four feasts of the year that they're meant to is holy to the Lord. And you go to Jerusalem, that's where you in the temple, that's where you sacrifice. So Jeroboam, though he started out well, remember yesterday we talked about finishing well. He started out well. He had the heart of the people, prophetic destiny, word of the Lord, prophetic destiny. He moves in that way, and then his heart turns. And this would be basically every king of Israel, but it started here with Jeroboam. And in fact, later on, throughout the rest of Kings, 1st and 2nd Kings, it'll be referred to as the sins of Jeroboam. Now, don't get that confused. It's Jeroboam 2 that comes later on. That's a different king. And he's also evil. But the sins of Jeroboam refer to this Jeroboam, Jeroboam 1. And this is what he decides to do. He says, oh no, the people are mandated to go to Jerusalem. If they go to Jerusalem and worship in the temple, their allegiance will go back to Rehoboam. And then they'll follow him, and Rehoboam's going to kill me. I'm dead meat. And so he does what is detestable to the Lord. He sets up the Egyptian. Now, he was probably, when he was in Egypt and fleeing and was there for many years, most likely he picked up the custom and the religion of the Egyptians. So much so that he comes back and he builds two golden calves. And these calves actually have a name in Egyptian, in their worship, what the Israelites will call idolatry. And this is what he does. He sends one, and he says, he sets one in Bethel, it's the most northern place, and in Dan, the most southern place. And so the furthest reaches of the kingdom, and he sets two places basically there to be centers of worship. Then he takes priests that are not of the sons of Levi. And so that's not mandated. He just took normal people, and probably it was a political process, and he sets them in these places to be priests. I mean, total abomination before the Lord. Because remember, only the priests were able to handle the holy things. I mean, it was mandated going all the way back to Moses. And so to cover his own butt, basically, he sets up these golden calves, and then he sets up these high places, and then he changes. Remember, the main feast was the seventh month. He changes the date, and he says, well, here's the feast that Israel is going to do, and it's the eighth month. He does it a month later on. And so he's instituting his own gods, and he says, these are the gods that brought you out of Egypt. Oh my goodness. I mean, this is going all the way back to Moses coming down and Aaron making the golden calf, and we see Israel committing this sin again. So two places of worship now. So that's all to eliminate the Israelites from going to Jerusalem, to going to Judah and worship there at the temple. And so two places, calves, high places, priests that are not Levites, and then on top of that changes the day of the festival given to Moses as a commemoration of what God has done for the Israelites. This is like the trifecta of sin in this regard. I mean, this guy is really blowing. And that's why from now on, this is known as the sins of Jeroboam. And it's grievous to the Lord. So much so, the next chapter, the prophet comes to Jeroboam and he gives him a word that, man, you're going down, bro. This is not good for you. And this starts the reign of Israel. And it is a horrible start. And now you see why every king of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And it starts here with Jeroboam. And I mean, it's just a crazy, crazy incident that happens. He starts well, and then he is basically caught up in self-interest. He's caught up in self-preservation. I mean, wouldn't the Lord have taken care of Jeroboam? Of course he would have. I mean, he's made king by a prophetic word. It wasn't like he wanted to revolt. Remember, he was a righteous man. He was a skilled laborer. He was faithful and industrious. And that's why the Lord handpicked him. And the next thing you know, he goes about and he does what is evil in the sight of the Lord. We said it yesterday, but this idea of finishing well is so important for us. No matter how we started, it really will matter how we finish and how we end up. And so, like I said yesterday, start today. Build habits today that will ensure your tomorrow. Most likely, Jeroboam was affected when he went to Egypt. And he probably, I don't know what's going on with this guy. But build yourself habits today that will ensure your success for tomorrow. It's so important that we really learn to really finish well in that regard. So let's close our eyes. There's a couple of really good takeaways from this chapter. You know, one deals with the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. His invisible and visible hand is upon us and upon the world. What we're meant to do is submit to His will, because His will is best. His will is right. It's perfect. The other part, too, is, you know, I mean, it's kind of repeating from yesterday, but, man, this idea of finishing well. Jeroboam, wow. I mean, next chapter, I'm sorry, we're not going to get to the next chapter for a few weeks since going to Israel tonight. But, man, what a sad story to have started well and then ended with such foolishness. Now, many of us in our Christian life, we're in mid-stride. Let's really endeavor to finish well. It doesn't happen out of a vacuum. It happens by preparing ourselves now. Prepare yourself now. Build habits now. Build devotion now that will carry us into tomorrow.
For you are good, for you. are good, for you are good to me, for you are good, for you are good, for you are good to me, for you are good, for you are good, for you are good to me, for you are good, for you are good, for you are good to me, for you are good, for you are good, for you are good to I cry for your hand of mercy to heal me.
Let's pray this morning. Let's pray that God would establish us. God would establish our devotion and our habits. You know, it's those little things that go a long way. It's our prayer life. It's our living according to His Word. It's our obeying the prompting of the Spirit. It's being integrous. All those little things add up. And once we start slipping in those little things, it starts manifesting in the big things. Let's give the Lord our heart again and our commitment to follow Him. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family members that are going through cancer and recovering from therapies and surgeries. And let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray the Lord would reveal Himself to them. Let's pray for our community that's battling through illness, non-cancer related, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision and His open doors. Let's go to our mission prayers, and let's pray for Japan. Let's pray for the country and ask the Holy Spirit to breathe. And let's also lift up Pastor Sophia. She goes through her language learning. She's in her new role at a new church, and let's pray she would continue to grow and minister and be encouraged by the Lord. Let's pray for Korea. Let's pray for SP Seoul. Pray for Eunsung and Janice, and pray that there would be more traction into their group. And just pray just over the environment of Korea right now. And I think we pray for North Korea on Saturdays, but you know, when we pray for Korea, let's pray for both. And you know, I had an interesting meeting with Kenneth Bay last week. You know, he's a pastor that was jailed, and he seems to think, and the praying community seems to think that that something's going to happen either this year or next year in terms of overrunning the government. And I was quite shocked to hear that. It was so fast. But I mean, let's really just start praying into that, and that God's will be established. And it seems like the praying community around the world believes that sometime this year or sometime next year, there's going to be an overthrow of the government. And so as we pray for Korea, and particularly Seoul is going to play a huge part, let's just really pray for a peaceful takeover in that regard. And then let's pray for Cambodia. Let's lift up Oasis House. Pray for Pastor Jenny. And just the move of the Lord there in Cambodia. And also Grace and the next steps for her. Let's lift up. Let's pray over our missions council. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide our leaders, our council members, that they would be filled with the wisdom of the Lord and really a missional heart, and that would really lead our endeavors as a church. Let's lift up our local outreach teams, Agape, Homie, SP Lights, Freedom Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray for Holy Spirit's anointing and just the power of the Lord to just flow through our leaders and our volunteers, and that there would be divine appointments, and Holy Spirit would just really lead these ministries. Let's pray for our gatherings tonight, SPU, IP, and the youth Bible study. I think the youth Bible study is finished now. And so let's just lift up SPU and IP, and let's ask Holy Spirit to lead and guide. Let's pray for house church tonight, McCain, McDaddy, McRobinson. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide, and just the power of the Lord would manifest. If we can just add one, can we pray for the Israel trip? We're leaving tonight. Actually, Yiling is already in Jerusalem right now. And then there's two people flying in from Beijing, and they'll be meeting us in Tel Aviv. And then a Singapore, SP Singh person is coming to Hong Kong, and we're all leaving tonight. There's 23 of us in total. Just pray for protection and safety, and just pray for a real incredible time of walking where Jesus walked. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, and Lord, Jeroboam and Rehoboam, Lord God, are just really sad reminders, Lord, of finishing well, God, of looking to others, Lord, is more important than ourselves, God, and we see in their failures, God, but we see light and hope for us that we don't have to repeat their mistakes. And as we go through the Kings, God, and the Chronicles, Lord, I pray that you teach us lessons that we can apply every day in our lives right now. Thank you. Thank you for your word, Lord. Watch over us, God, particularly, Lord, our team that's leaving tonight. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just cause your goodness to lead us, God, and lead all of us here in Hong Kong as well. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. And I'll see you in a few weeks, but we'll see some of you guys see you over the weekend.